This is the Rare Witch Roundtable, episode 19 for July 31st, 2009. Cabalism, capitalism, or cannibalism? Welcome to the 19th episode of the Rare Witch Roundtable, the premier podcast about Rare, Xbox, and the Rare Witch Project forums. From Victoria, Australia, I'm Kelvin Getley, and joining me today we have Aaron Haslam, Gruntling from Mesa, Arizona.
Hi.
We also have Larry Keller, Bottles 98, from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Nar.
And finally, Rich Henry, Grey Ginger, from Rochester, New York.
Hi, Nar.
For our number 3 news article this week, the first Microsoft stores will be opening in Arizona and California this fall. More are set to open in 2010, though there's no specific dates or names for the stores yet. I don't know a lot about Microsoft stores, so I'll hand it over to Aaron since he's all excited about the one opening near him.
I'm not exactly excited, but I think it'll be interesting to see. They're opening up in Scottsdale, which is just like a short drive from my house. So when it opens up, I'll be sure to check it out. Maybe buy Windows 7, since I think that's coming out later this year, or some Xbox games. I'm kind of actually interested to see if it'll actually work out, because is Microsoft popular enough? Because, like, I know the Apple stores are really popular here, but I don't know if we have hardcore Microsoft fans like there's hardcore Apple fans.
They do have the most market share, though, so I mean, obviously people are buying Microsoft products.
They'll have to do a lot of advertising, because I don't think a lot of people will know there is a Microsoft store. I haven't heard anything otherwise, except for from Kotaku.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're going to go to a store and you're going to buy a PC, which apparently, you know, at least, what, 80% of people are, according to statistics anyway, then are you going to go down the street to Circuit City or, I guess, Best Buy now, or just go down the street to Microsoft, who makes the thing you're getting anyway?
Well, to be fair, Best Buy is a lot closer than Scottsdale.
Oh, to you.
For a lot of people, too. There's only going to be two stores for, like, half a year or so.
Well, yeah, but all places start like that. I mean, it's not like they built 17 Best Buys their first quarter or anything.
Do you guys have, like, Apple stores in Australia, Kelvin?
Not that I've seen, but I don't
I forgot. You live in the middle of nowhere, don't you?
Yeah, but when I go to the cities, I never see anything. Like, we have Telstra stores, who are the telecommunications company in Australia, and they'll sell, you know, iPhones and anything to do with their company, but I haven't actually seen a specific Apple store.
I'm sure you guys have Apple stores. They just probably actually sell apples there.
What about the rest of you?
If there is one, I don't know where it is.
That's so weird. I can think of like 5 Apple stores just off of the top of my head. There's actually one that's seriously less than a mile from my house.
It's not just Apple stores. You guys get more of the Apple products too. Like when I did I tried to buy a 32 gigabyte iPod Touch, and I searched here. I searched my current location, and it said that there was no Walmart, Best Buy, or Target within 100 miles that sold this product. So I ended up buying a 16 gigabyte because it was the biggest one that I could find, and even then I had to drive like 45 minutes to get to a Walmart. Then I did the same search, but I typed in that I was in San Francisco, California, and it was like, oh, every store here has 15 of them. We're not even going to tell you how many's in stock because you just walked right in and you can have 18 of them. So you guys get not just your Apple stores, but just your general stores like Walmart and Target, and they get a lot more Apple products than ours do.
That's why Arizona is better.
Oh, yeah, okay. You can ride the tail of California all you want. The only reason you guys get any products is because you're right near the border of a state that people actually care about.
So with these Microsoft stores, do you actually expect them to have a huge amount of stuff other than Xbox and like Windows 7?
Well, I would imagine that those would be like the primary things, because they don't. Microsoft doesn't sell any PCs or anything like Apple sells Macs and stuff like that. But you'd probably see like, what do you call it, Zune, and then they'd probably have a couple. I know Microsoft sells mice and a few computer accessories, but I imagine that's the kind of things that you would see in there.
Actually, I didn't read the article that you guys posted, but I read an article. Did you? There, you can have your birthday party there.
Okay.
You're gonna have a big, an entertainment area, where I guess you can use. I'm assuming the entertainment thing on Vista or Windows 7 or whatever, and then they're gonna have like Xboxes in the center, and then you can actually pay money for like your kid and your kid's friends to have a Microsoft party there.
I think you'd have to be pretty nerdy to do that.
I don't know, if you're gonna play Xbox anyway, you might as well do it at Microsoft.
Well, yeah, actually, I'd never thought of that.
Especially because you probably don't have to buy the games then. You know what I mean? They'll probably have, like, Gears of War and just all kinds of games just sitting there for, like, LAN parties. So instead of coming in and buying the games and doing it at home, you just pay whatever, I guess, the FIFA party would be, and then you could just switch out games, kind of like a rental store that you can sit in.
Yeah, and they should have a pretty big and decent collection to choose from, too. I mean, being a Microsoft store.
And since it's them, and they don't have to actually buy, like, you know, if Blockbuster or something tried to do the same thing, they'd have to buy a copy of every game to let people play. But since it's Microsoft, they probably just burn the software onto discs, and they probably just have a bunch of like that, so they don't pay, you know, $60 per copy for these parties. They probably pay 99 cents for the CD image.
They could probably make just a modified Xbox where they stick all the games on the hard drive and don't need a disc to play them.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Just power it on, select the game you want to play, and that's it. Okay, so with that, we'll move on to our number two news article for this week. Twitter and Facebook are coming to the Xbox 360, however they won't be coming with the new dashboard update August 11th. Before Christmas is the best time frame we've got.
Can't wait. So glad that that we get this. This is just so amazing, you just don't understand. So happy.
Well, you know, it's something I would have never thought of. It kind of makes me think that the 360 is really actually becoming like your all-in-one media source. You don't?
Yeah, the Wii has something called an internet browser. So does the PlayStation 3. You want to Twitter someone? You don't have to wait for a dashboard update. You go to Twitter.com and you just...
Well, this is good news for people who are on their 360 all the time.
Yeah, but what Microsoft's doing is instead of releasing something to let you on the internet, they're just releasing parts of the internet that they like one at a time. They're like, oh, we're going to give you this portion of the internet today. It's almost like a game. Oh, what part of the internet will we get next? Can't wait.
Really? We'll get a new Grounds application.
A new what?
A new Grounds application.
That's not popular enough.
You like cartoons? Microsoft exclusively gives you access to thousands of cartoons. Grounds application. And the worst part is, it'll take like 450 megabytes of your hard drive.
I think that might be cumbersome to do, too, on the 360. I mean, it's the same thing with the Wii or any other console that has the internet or something related to that. It's like, how do you type?
You have a USB keyboard that works on your Xbox.
Oh, well, there's something I didn't know.
They also make that controller that's like holding a skateboard every game you play, and the keyboard's in the center. Oh, and they have a little touchpad peripheral that you put into the headset slot, and it has a QWERTY keyboard on it. So it's like this little, kind of like what your phone would have if your phone had a full QWERTY keyboard, and it just sits right at the bottom. So there's that too.
I can't see much of a point to put Twitter and Facebook onto the Xbox 360. I mean, it's gaming, you know. That's what you're there to play. You're not there to check out people's Facebook pictures and things.
I mean, it's there for people who want to use it, though.
Guys, I'm playing video games. Hey, guys, I'm still playing video games. Isn't that great?
Yeah, usually people who use Xbox 360... so much that they need to Twitter directly from their Xbox 360. The type of people that no one gives a shit what they're doing.
Do any of you guys use Twitter?
I don't.
Neither do I.
I don't.
I've used it to keep up with, like, Rare, but I've only made, like, 3 actual updates. And I haven't made one in, like, a month, so I don't really give a shit.
I seriously don't know anybody who has a Twitter page or whatever you call it.
Yeah, it seems like something that, I don't know, celebrities and things try to use to try and look cool and think that they're keeping in touch with people when really just no one cares.
It's like, what do you say when you're using Twitter? Oh, I'm using the computer right now, or I'm looking out the window.
The Victorian police actually were just using it last weekend, I think it was, and as they were making arrests for drunk driving and speeding and all that, they would actually update the feed to try and make young people aware, you know, that they are out there, they're busting people and not to do all this sort of stuff. So they were posting like, oh yeah, someone just blew 0.06 is when the legal limit's 0.05, now lost their license for 6 months. And apparently people really liked it.
Well, now you can check up on the Victorian police on your 360 with Twitter.
I've got something. Why are there pyramid schemes for Twitter to get more followers? Like, you tweet this message, and then you automatically follow the 6 people before you, and then you try to get other people to do it. What the fuck? Why? Fucking internet.
Our number one news article for this week. The sales figures for the 3 companies have been announced, with everyone seeing a big drop. Sony's game business sales is down by 18% this quarter. Microsoft posted a company-wide loss of 29% for the last quarter, with Microsoft's Entertainment and Devices division having an overall loss of 66% for the fiscal year. And Nintendo saw the largest drop, down 40% for this quarter, for a 60.6 drop for the year. Are these numbers surprising to anybody?
I care.
To me, it's not surprising. It's obviously because of the recession.
I don't really think it's a recession. What game came out in the last 3 months? Name one. Name one big game that came out in the last 3 months.
For me personally, there just hasn't been any games I've been interested in. And there's probably no games I'm interested that are coming out for a while.
Well, not just you, but I mean for everyone. Like, a lot of the big games are anticipated. BioShock, Assassin's Creed, the 2... or 57, whatever there are, Halo games, new Super Mario Bros., Mario Galaxy 2, the new Metroid, they're all coming out later. Nothing came out recently.
I really can't name anything.
Exactly. So I don't even think, like I said, it has to do with the succession. It's just that there hasn't been any multi-million selling games. That's where their money comes in, so.
I thought it was just me, but I guess you're right.
Not only that, but I would imagine that with summer and people being out of school and that, like, teens that buy a lot of games, that people are going to be playing less games than they would in the winter where they're stuck inside. Especially on a console like the Wii, where it's mostly a fad for some people, and it's like little girls and grandmas, they're not really stuck on games, you know what I mean? So for them, it's probably too warm out to play the Wii.
I'll go first for Forum Watch this week. My topic is, what should Rare release next? New IP or old franchise, started by Captain Blubber in the new Rareware section? That's the question. He's asking people what they think. And it seems like half the people saying, you know, release a sequel or something continuing a franchise, and others are saying release a new IP. And I was thinking about it last night, and I thought, well, I think a new IP would actually be really good for Rare to link themselves with Microsoft and the Xbox rather than continuing things that have always been traditionally on Nintendo consoles. So, but I wanted to know what you all thought about it.
As much as I'd like to see a sequel to like an old franchise like Banjo, namely, I really think that Rare needs to create more new IPs, kind of like what GM2K was saying. Because when you think about it, what are the only Xbox exclusive IPs that you can think of? For me, it's like Grab by the Ghoulies and Viva Pinata, but that's pretty much it. The rest of them are just kind of like old ported franchises from the Nintendo days. When you think about those two, like Cameo and Banjo, they've sold okay. They've sold like modestly, so they really need something new.
Cameo's IP, bro.
What's that?
I said Cameo is a new IP.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Cameo was one of their Xbox exclusive IPs.
Well, true, but wasn't it like going to be on the GameCube originally before they moved everything over?
Yeah, I wouldn't really... really heard of it. Like, when you say Cameo, I think most people get a Xbox Live. I don't think anyone has a Nintendo association with that game.
All right, but you kind of get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought there was a Cameo game on another console.
I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be for the GameCube, but it like got canceled halfway.
Yeah, if you play... Am I the only one that played Cameo? If you played Cameo, you get good scores on the levels. They actually show you videos of the game when it was on GameCube and when it was on the original Xbox. So they show you GameCube footage of that. It was actually supposed to be on the N64 first, then GameCube. That's, I always make fun of it for being pushed back like 15 console generations.
Well, Cameo aside, like all the franchises that they've moved over, even Conker and Banjo are probably like the two most famous ones, maybe Perfect Dark, but have any of them really sold really well? I don't think so.
Perfect Dark did, but to be fair, Perfect Dark was a launch title. If you check Perfect Dark stats, though, it outsold, it's their top-selling game on the Xbox. No game that they've sold as many sales. But, yeah, Perfect Dark just blows the rest of them out of the water in terms of numbers.
I know what I think Rare should release next. Grabbed by the Ghoulies 2, Need in the Nuts.
You mean like Need in like K-N-E-E-D apostrophe I-N?
Well, no.
Like you're going to make a cake out of them or something?
They were actually, they were saying that if they were going to make a sequel to the game, they would have called it Need in the Nuts, and I just found that awesome. It was like in EEDE or something.
Do you get it, Gray?
Yeah, I get it. But I was saying they could have just put Need in the Nuts, like with a big ghost kneeing them in the balls. I'm assuming that there's some type of double entendre going on there, and that's what I was asking.
Yeah, Ghoulies in England is like testicles or something.
Yeah. Oh. I was surprised, actually, when, like, 2 years after the game came out, someone posted a topic on the forum saying that, do you guys actually understand that? And I didn't even think that... I thought, oh, that's a crappy spam topic, but apparently you guys didn't know that Ghoulies was a code word for...
I did. Office to that topic, I was like, what do you mean there's a secret meaning? It just grabbed my ghoulies. That's harmless. But yeah, you guys explained that to me, so cheers.
So Gray, what about you? What do you think? Should they release a new IP or go back to old franchises?
Go on with how they're releasing Battletoads 2010.
How did you know? Well, I was going to say, it depends on how old the franchise was. Like, I don't want to see Banjo again. Well, I mean, I do want to see Banjo again, but I think in the interest of the company, probably not Banjo, not Conker, not a sequel to like a big name game like that, not Perfect Dark, etc. But if they would do a really old game that not that many people knew of anyway, that might not be so bad. Battletoads is coming out next year, so like that's a kind of an example because it's not really like a Super Nintendo N64 type game that people psych back to. I mean, there were Super Nintendo, but I mean, the main Battletoads was always the NES one, so that one's been kind of removed so far from the timeline that they could kind of make it feel like an Xbox game, you know what I mean? Even though it's already a Nintendo franchise type deal. I would agree to wanting a new IP. The only thing I'm concerned about is, since they're doing all these Natal projects, if they release a new IP, I have a feeling it's going to suck. So I'm a little bit concerned with them taking creative liberties right now. Because it'll probably be like Giggles the jumping paint can or something, and then you go around painting the world one brush at a time, yelling out color names, and not good. In my head, anyway. They'll probably come out with like Death Trap gun down or something, but...
that's like the, like, just, it sounds like a generic title. Even though it shouldn't, it does.
Okay, well, that's my topic for the week. Who wants to go next?
I'll go, since I never volunteer. And since it's probably better for us to just get my topic out of the way. My topic is RWP's best, the best, the best, the best, the best of you. It was by Dragon Bottles. And it's basically kind of a parody, kind of a serious thread. Because there have been a lot of different RWP's best threads, like the best beard, the best... What was it called? The best fat member? Was that its exact name? Maybe not.
Fattest member.
Oh, okay. So that one didn't follow the best structure.
How could we forget?
Then there was, I think, best hair, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a long story short, there's a ton of best topics, and they're kind of getting annoying, but this one was kind of amusing, I thought, because it was kind of cataloging all the best threads, and then it itself was a best thread, so it was kind of like a parody within its own parody. So yeah, I don't know. I thought it was clever. Apparently no one else does.
I'm going to make the topic Rare Witch Project's best stupid motherfucker, and it's going to be all the people who have made Rare Witch Project's best.
I think I'm winning the one, though. Or at least I was. Tanjo is catching up. I hope I'm still winning.
I love how you want to actually win that competition when it's not a competition people usually want to win.
Well, I gotta say, I think they're kind of annoying, too, these competitions. When they first started coming out, they were okay, but now it's, like, over the top. I find it kind of funny. Dragon Bottles has, like, all these best competition topics, etc., whatever you want to call them. But he's missing the original one that started it all, which was, like, what was it? The Rare Witch Project's best-looking member by Nature Girl.
Although, I want to point out something. So you're saying that when there's a lot of threads on a similar topic, it's annoying, huh? Well...
Oh, no, no, start with that. I know where you're going.
This is the greatest game of all time, day one. The greatest game of all time, day two. The greatest game of all time, day blah, blah, blah. For the podcast, you could just put on, like, music for 6 hours and then copy me saying, the greatest game of all time, day 38. Okay? And then let's scroll. What's your recent trend been like? Rate the Wii. Rate the Sega Saturn. Rate the PS2. Rate the PS3. Rate the PS4. What do you think it's going to be like?
Well, to be fair, with the greatest game of all time...
No, we're not done, Crowley. We haven't visited all the forums yet. Let's go to the rare form. What's in here? Oh, DKC boss pull 1, DKC boss pull 2, DKC boss pull 5, there's not even 5 fucking games, how did you pull this off? There's 3 games, 5 boss pulls, what did you do? What is 5, I can't even imagine. You just took random fucking bosses from 1 through 4 and you put them together, and you made a new one.
It wasn't random.
Maybe it wasn't random. Queen Bee, Creepy Crow, Chaos. These aren't the same game. This is random.
Well, if you actually read the topic, I said I took the highest, like, most voted for boss from each game and the runner-up, and that's how I came up with it.
All right.
To be fair, the greatest game of all time wasn't actually started by me. It was by Stephen Colbert, and I just kind of took it over.
You just saw someone making the same thread with a slight variation 400 times and went, God damn it, that's my role. You stop it, and you took it over. Rashly hijacked Stephen Colbert.
And with that, we'll move on to the next topic. Larry or Aaron, who wants to go?
I'll go. My thread is cannibalism, posted in Almost Anything Goes by YME123. And very curiously, the spelling in the title and the spelling in the actual post vary, but whatever. And he asks, would it be cannibalism if you fed your dog/cat canned food that was made from dog/cat, or feeding a lion in a zoo lion meat? I just wanted to make everyone aware of this fantastic, shining example of a thread.
is your opinion, Larry?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. It's not really a conscious thing. It's you doing it, not you. It's you're feeding it to the animal. They don't even know.
So you're saying for it to be cannibalism, they have to know that they're eating whatever it is?
Oh, I was just trying to say something other than yes.
I don't, is cannibalism defined as a literal act or a social act?
I don't think it matters.
Well, it matters because it changes the answer entirely. If it's a literal act, then a cannibal is literally someone who eats a member of their own species. But if it's not and it's a social act, then cannibalism would be the knowing act and the willingness to eat something. Like, if someone forces you to eat a person, but you don't like it, are you a cannibal? Like, say you yes. take a vegetarian.
Yeah, you are.
No, because listen, yes. if you take a vegetarian and you chain them up and you make them eat a hamburger, are they all of a sudden not a vegetarian? No, because it's a social thing. It's not a literal thing. It's not vegetarian isn't literally someone who doesn't eat meat. It's like a social, someone who chooses not to eat meat. So if you force them to eat a hamburger, they're still a vegetarian.
Well, okay, they're not exactly a willing cannibal, but that doesn't change the fact that they're still being a cannibal because they're eating human meat.
But what's the difference between the example with the vegetarian and the example with the cannibal?
They're not any different. If you eat hamburgers,
it's no longer a vegetarian once you force them to eat meat. If they say they're a vegetarian, they're a liar and you can slap them in the face.
That's right, because you can say that they ate meat. Vegetarianism is like nothing at all the same as cannibalism.
Yeah, but vegetarian is not literal. It's a social word. So if you
exactly, but you can't be a literal vegetarian unless you're like a deer or some kind of animal. But you can be a literal cannibal.
Asking, so are you defining cannibalism as a literal, you eat someone of your species, you are a cannibal? Or are you classifying it the same way as you classify a vegetarian, whereas you have to actually choose for you to fall under it?
Well, see, that's the difference between animal cannibalism and human cannibalism. I mean, with humans, we have a mind. We can consciously choose what we want to eat and what we don't eat. But with animals, they don't have a choice.
By the way, the next time I talk to a vegetarian, I'm totally going to say, are you some kind of animal?
Well, no, you're missing what I'm trying to say is that because we're human, we have a choice whether or not we want to be a vegetarian or a vegan or a cannibal or a meat eater, etc. But animals don't really have that choice, per se.
I know what you were saying. I just found it funny.
Haha. Well, I mean, it's like comparing apples to oranges. They're really, you can't compare them.
Well, but that's why we have social words versus literal words, which is why I was asking the question in the first place.
If you're a cannibal, if you're a human cannibal, then yes, you are doing it in a literal sense, and yes, you are doing it in a social sense.
If it's literal, you have to. It's one or the other. It's either literal or social. There is not a word that's both unless you decide that it can go either way. But if it's you eat a person, then you are a cannibal, then it's a literal word. It's no longer a social word. If it's a you have to like eating people and choose to eat a person, that's a social word. So you're saying it's a literal word.
Well, it could be a social word because someone's forcing you to do it. That's not literal.
No, because you're literally doing it.
Well,
you're literally eating the food because it's forcing you. But socially, you're not a cannibal. Socially, you're still very much against eating people. But you're literally eating it because you're being forced to.
Well, then it depends on the case. It's the same thing like you said with the vegetarian. If they're being forced to eat meat, then they're still... Oh, forget it. I'm getting confused. Okay, you're right. You're right.
But I don't know if cannibal is a social word. I'm just asking.
It can be. Just say that.
No, it can be a social word.
Okay, cannibalism is always a literal word. But at certain times, it can be a social word.
No, you can't say something is always... What the fuck? You know what? My grandma's always dead, but sometimes she's alive. And she's the part... She always implies never anything else.
No, that's like totally different. You can't compare alive and dead. Cannibalism can either be something you choose, or it can Just forget it. You're confusing me, eh?
I don't understand what you mean by something is always one way, but sometimes another. Why'd you even say always?
Well, the act of cannibalism is always literal, but sometimes you can make it a choice.
You're not making any sense, Aslam.
By the way, guys, I was, like, kidding, and you turned it into an actual conversation.
I don't even understand your question, actually. How can it be, like, how is cannibalism, like, a social thing?
Yeah, well, I'll explain. The cannibal was a social cannibal. He chose to be cannibal, just like someone chooses to be a vegetarian. He wasn't a cannibal because he literally ate people. He was a cannibal because he was a choice. It's like you're a vegetarian by choice. You're not a vegetarian because you literally don't eat meat. You're a vegetarian because you make the personal social choice to not eat meat. The difference is, if vegetarian is a social word. If it was a literal word, then someone who ever ate meat, if you ate meat once in your life, if you were a baby and your mom brought home fucking squashed up baby peas and yams and like little pieces of beef and you ate it, then you're not a vegetarian. If vegetarian was a literal word, because at some point you ate meat. You literally ate meat, so you're no longer a vegetarian. If you ever say you are, you're lying.
Okay, well,
the word, which it is, then you can say you're a vegetarian because you're making the proactive choice to not eat meat. You're currently a vegetarian.
Okay, well, I'll agree with you then that vegetarianism and cannibalism are social words, all right? For people, when it comes to animals, they're different things.
Okay, so you think it's a social word for people, but for animals it's a literal word.
Well, what do you call it when an animal is being forced to eat, like, eat meat and they're, excuse me, like eat vegetables and they're like a lion or something like that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that lions aren't above eating some berries, but...
Well, does that mean that they're not carnivorous? Does that mean they're not meat eaters?
Well, carnivorous isn't exclusive, is it?
Okay, you're making this way too technical.
I guess it is, yeah, because omnivore would be someone who eats both.
What do the rest of you think?
Well, it would be a cannibal act, but they're not cannibals.
Do you agree that they're a cannibal at that moment, though?
They wouldn't be a cannibal at that moment. It's just they're performing a cannibalistic act.
Yeah. If you kiss a boy, but you're not gay for that moment. You just did a gay thing.
Yes, you are. You are gay for that moment.
You're not gay for that moment. It's not like hetero, gay! hetero again, no.
Okay, if someone's forcing you to kiss another guy, that's a homosexual thing, right?
The act is, yeah.
It doesn't change the fact that you're straight or not. It's just in that moment, it's a homosexual thing.
Yeah, it's a homosexual thing, but you are not a homosexual.
Right, that doesn't change the fact, but in that moment, you are.
No, you were not a homosexual in that moment. You did a homosexual thing. They're two different concepts. There's a difference between something gay for a moment.
It doesn't matter if you're straight, gay, or what. If you're kissing a guy at that moment, it doesn't matter if you're being forced or it's of your... It doesn't matter. In that moment, you're being gay.
No, you're doing a gay thing. It's wordplay, but it's a fine difference between being gay and doing something gay. Being gay and actually being gay.
Well, they're two different things, right? But I'm just saying... In that exact moment, you did a gay thing.
Gay. You did a gay thing.
Okay, so why don't we move on to Aaron's thread for this week?
All right, well, my thread of this week is Departed Members That You Miss by Repo Banjo. And I think the title kind of explains it all. So what I'll just go through is some of the things people have been posting, who they miss most. Repo started it off and he said that SWAT, Legendary, Banjo, Eggs, and Demos are probably the members he misses most. Vatican Drummer, Conquer Tribe, Patrick, X, Slap Happy, Klungo, Troll Clowns.
I would say Princess J. Who else was I going to say? I had one other person now. I can't think who they were. Way to go, me. Blue Bregal. That was it. Blue Bregal.
For some reason, I always think of Nick 98.
Oh, yeah. What happened to him?
I don't know.
I always think of Yechu. Why is EA too funny? I don't understand.
Well, because, for one, probably a lot of people who listen to this aren't even going to know who the fuck that is. Because they're newbies and they're not good people.
Some other ones people are saying, Golden Jiggy, John, Wolf Logan, Miss Who.
Yeah, but people who said Wolf Logan were wrong.
Banjo's Banjo. Let's see here. Kane Howard.
They only miss him because he's not here. If he was here every day, none of them would miss him if he left.
Blank. Let's see here. Cobblecog. Skine. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. Skine 99. Tommy Walker. Jim.
Takes a lot to miss Jim.
Lauer BR, if I'm saying his name right.
I always just pronounce his name Laborer. Like he's missed in Brazil or something.
Ice Lightning posted a really good topic, or excuse me, a really good post that like listed a bunch of members. That's so funny.
Oh, I couldn't help it. Fucking Mandolin's post. I mostly miss Kaz de Bregal and Princess J, two very fine ladies. Just the way he said it.
And the fact that Kaz isn't gone.
Yeah, that's true.
There's always that.
How about R Hunter or Rare BK?
R Hunter still posts occasionally. He pops in every once in a while.
There's also BK Sonic, Banjoey, Banjofella.
I saw BK Sonic post like recently.
Yeah, like yesterday. You need to actually like fact check your list here. You're kind of like at this point you're just stopping them.
I'm just reading what people posted.
What'd you say?
I was just saying I'm just reading what people posted. Platinum Jinjo. I'm trying to think of a couple of members that I remember from like the Snitz days and UBB and like early V Bulletin days. Like, do you guys remember Golden Mist?
Yes, and I just thought of one, Dark Templar from.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, he was a good member.
It's easy for me to remember Dark Templar when he told the entire project that I was gonna die because he actually believed it.
Oh, if we're gonna go back to Snitz people, then I beat it, man, just because of his name.
What about Blazing Jingling? He was like the oldest member that I can think of and remember that is actually gone. He was older than I Beat It Man. He was older than the other people we just named.
Do you guys remember Weldar from Snitz?
Yes.
And Nothlet Wolf?
Oh, yes. I remember him.
Deep kept telling me he was Nothlet Wolf. Like, once every year, he would say he was Nothlet Wolf. And he actually fucking got to me because I'm at the point where, like, why would he keep bringing this up unless maybe he really was Nothlet Wolf?
Do you guys remember Kirby's Warp Star?
Yep.
Yep.
Every day I get a boost in color.
How about Professor X?
Ah, yes.
R Hunter visited 3 days ago.
Well, you know, when people post people like R Hunter and stuff like that, it's kind of like they're gone because they're really not, they don't have a big enough presence to kind of say that they're back, you know, or they're really here.
Gold Jinjo is the same way. Like, he used to be really active and good to see around the forums, but he's not that active anymore. So, you know, in that sort of sense, you miss him, but he still visits.
I'd say Icy Guy's another one like that. I mean, he never really posted to begin with, but now it's like you never see him post at all.
He posts more than Gold now, by like 8 times the amount.
I haven't seen Hakey Wake post in a long time. I mean, he's still here, and like so is Andre, but like them two, they're like really not around much anymore. They're like kind of like hidden members, if you know what I mean.
Well, Andre's internet access is extremely limited. I'm not sure I'd be on the Rare Witch Project super actively too if I was only on there a couple minutes a day in the cafe.
I think since we're already on the subject, we'll go to the email of the week, since it's related to Aaron's topic. And email this week is from Dinosaur, and he says, "Hey Roundtable, I've recently decided to log into the Rare Witch Project account to his Rare Witch Project account for the first time in a couple years and not just listen to the podcast. Now, I know many of you have been part of the forums for many years, but I wonder what makes you all keep coming back. Is it the users, your devotion to Rare, what?
Well, it's not the users, because most of the good ones have left and are replaced by terrible people.
For me, I would say, I'd like to say it was my devotion to Rare, but I really can't say that anymore because I haven't really played any Rare games recently, so I'm not as big of a fan as I used to be. So for me, it is the users. Mostly the older users, sorry to say. But no, that's not to say. There's quite a few new members I like too. But I'd say it's just I like the older members better just because I kind of have like a better relationship with them. I know them better. And it's kind of weird to think, but like a couple of years ago, I couldn't imagine myself sitting where I am now, like actually talking to you guys, stuff like that. I actually write to members now. Well, not recently, but like during Christmas and stuff like that. I send out Christmas cards and stuff like that. So I would say it's the community that keeps me coming back.
Well, I would say it's more that it's just, well, for me, it's just like the site is like fucking crack. I can't stay away.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Bottles. I think that I'm hypnotized because when I think of it objectively, like when people say, why are you still here? I just sit here in my chair and go into like a mind blank for 3 hours. So there has to be some like otherworldly force keeping me at the Rare Witch Project. I'm not sure what it is.
I think for me it's sort of a combination. The users and, you know, the friends that I've made and the site keep me coming back just to see what's going on. And then also, you know, a bit of devotion to Rare. I like to keep up with what's happening, even though you could actually leave for a year at a time and still keep up with what's going on with Rare. It's just a whole combination of things. It's just it's everything. It's what makes the Rare Witch Project the Rare Witch Project.
See, now you're falling in a trap. What is it that makes the Rare Witch Project the Rare Witch Project?
The community.
It's the people.
And the community's general devotion to Rare. So yeah, so when I come to the Rare Witch Project, I'm, you know, hanging out with friends. That's why I come. Finally, this week, we'll move on to some virtual high fives.
So, alright, first, virtual high five to Avarice for taking Joseph down with them by formally retiring from Hell's Forum instead of just waiting and being kicked off. The way Avarice did it, he ensured that someone else would be kicked off, and he basically dicked Joseph out of his spot. So, good going with that one. Oh yeah, since we didn't really touch on Hell's Forum this week, any comments on that, on Joseph and Avarice going?
Not really. It was a bit of a surprise to see Avarice quit, but if you don't have the time...
Larry, how do you feel about Hell's Forum, how it's going?
I gotta say, I really don't care all that much. Big surprise.
But you have to say that, for in general, you have a decent rapport with all the current moderators. So don't you care in, like, a slight bit in the sense that this is going to be a new moderator and you kind of know the rest of the moderators?
Well, yeah. Although, I think out of the people left, I think I'd be fine with any of them getting the position.
Yeah, people have been saying that the entire time, though. Like, out of all the 10 people left, oh, now that Tanger's gone, out of the people left. Oh, now that Steven's gone, out of the 8. Oh, now that Walrus is gone. Oh, no, Juice is gone. Eventually, it'll get down to one person, and people will be like, yeah, that's who I wanted all along. Then moving on, virtual high five to World of Warcraft for being the first game to mindfuck their customers to the degree that they are actually hiring therapists to counsel them while they play. Because they can't break away from playing. They're actually going in-game, because they can't get the kids to stop playing to go to therapy. So they're actually in-game. And playing alongside them and talking to them about their addiction.
Surely that's got to be a bit counterproductive. It's like, well, see, you're proving my point. I don't need to go to a therapist. The therapist comes to me. I don't need to go make food. The food comes to me.
I don't know how these people think, but I'm pretty sure that's not it.
I'd find it really hilarious if the therapists themselves actually got addicted.
That would be great. I hope that news article is just a few months away. Moving on. virtual high five to Norsey for knowing that he wasn't wanted at the Rare Witch Project.
Did he actually leave?
I don't know. I haven't seen a post in days. And I know because for some reason, I just gravitate to his posts before threatening to take my own life. So I'm pretty sure he hasn't posted in the last few days, I think I would know, but...
That's all we have for you this week. I'd like to thank Aaron, Larry, and Rich for joining me. Remember to send your emails and virtual high fives to podcast@rarewitchproject.com. If we read your email on the show, you'll get a nice little trophy on the forums. And tune in next week for what will hopefully be a special episode. If you enjoy our show, please subscribe and review it on iTunes. It does all help the show, and of course, feel free to leave comments on the forums. This recording may not be redistributed or broadcast without the express written consent of the Rare Witch Project. It is intended for private use only. Copyright 2009. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
That's the difference between animal capitalism. Can't talk. That's the difference between animal capital. Can't say that word.
Capitalism.
That's the difference.
Hosted by Bottles 98. IDK BBS my BFF Jill.
If my eyes are closed, they can't see me.